Well, good morning, all. Let me just pray as we start. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your scriptures. We pray as we open up your word today that you'll be teaching us, guiding us, and most importantly, changing us. We now ask that you remove all distractions from us so that we can hear you clearly this morning. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, last Tuesday, Perth couple Ori and Lindsay Zaros, along with their two children, Zoe and Zane, were rescued from the Simpson Desert after being stranded there for 5 days when their customized four-wheel drive camper van became bogged in the Simpson Desert. Now, Mr. Zaros said this, "After the first couple of days, we sort of realized that we wanted to get out of here pretty quickly. It's not a nice place to be stuck, is it, in the middle of the desert?" He said, "We were concerned that we might have got stuck here for a few weeks, and we were worried about the heat, because there was meant to be a heat wave of up to high 40 degree temperatures." But he further stated this. He said, "As soon as they dropped that sat phone to us, we were safe." And when they touched down in Cooper Pedy, Mr. Zaros said, "We are thankful that it is all over now. I think I'll crack a cold beer and some champagne," while his wife Lindsay said she just wanted to wash her hair. Now, this rescue story brought great joy to people who heard about it, and also to the family, but also to the reporter who actually interviewed the couple when they landed in Cooper Pedy. You could just hear the joy that was in her voice as she was interviewing this couple. The couple praised their rescuers, saying to all the police and the search and rescue teams, "We are just forever grateful to them. And thank you to all the people who sent out the beautiful messages and everyone who has helped us out of here." It was truly an amazing rescue story of this couple being stranded in the middle of the Simpson Desert and being rescued and brought back to the safety of civilization. Well, when we turn to our passage this morning from Ezekiel, we see yet another amazing rescue story. We see the Lord proclaiming that he will rescue his people. He will rescue them from their rebellion, which has led them off into exile. For remember what has happened to the nation of Israel. The nation has been split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, who no longer followed God's ways, and the southern kingdom, Judah, who sometimes followed God's ways, but often went their own way as well. Now, in the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, we saw Ezekiel prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem and that Judah would be exiled into Babylon. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded Israel in 605 BC. And he took off some of the Judean nobilities off into captivity, including Daniel and his friends. If you've read the book of Daniel, you know about him getting taken off to be the king's servants. But Nebuchadnezzar, like most rulers of the time, still kept a Judean puppet king on the throne. His job was to rule on behalf of King Nebuchadnezzar. But this puppet king, he tried to free Judah from Babylonians' control. And he didn't do this by actually going to God and asking for his help and trusting that he would rescue his people. Instead, he tried to seek an alliance with his neighboring countries around. And this alliance ultimately led to the full-scale invasion of Judah and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 587 BC, when everybody was taken off into exile. Now, Ezekiel had prophesied that this destruction would happen, and he explained why it would happen. It was the same reason all the other prophets had said, namely, the ongoing rebellious sin of the people. But even so, even with this destruction, this is not the last words for God's people. For in today's passage, we see the sound of hope. We see that God does not leave his people in exile. For if you've got your Bibles open, have a look with me at verse 24. He says, I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. The Lord had promised he was going to bring his people back to the promised land. But at the beginning of our reading, we see a very surprising reason for God's rescue plan. Did you notice what the reason was? Have a look at verse 22. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. See, God is vindicating his holy name by restoring Israel. God had scattered his people because of their ongoing rebellious sin. He had scattered them because they had not trusted him. He had scattered them because they had defiled the land and had turned to idols. And instead of turning back to God in repentance, like they were meant to do when they had wronged God, the exiles instead defamed the name of the Lord in the lands they were exiled to. And it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they have had to leave his land. See, other nations had started to regard God as an ineffective tribal God. He was no longer the creator and Lord of the whole earth. In their eyes, he was a God that had gone from being all-powerful to someone who could be defeated. Someone who actually didn't have power, who could lose a war and have his people taken away. But the sovereign Lord declares, I will show the holiness of my great name. The nations will know that I am the Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. God will deliver his people to show his holiness. But this deliverance is not the heart of Ezekiel's message here today. For the good news is not merely that God's people will be brought back into their promised land. Instead, the good news is that a transformation will take place in the hearts and minds of the people. Have a look at verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. You see, this total transformation that takes place is God's work. Firstly, God washes these exiles clean. Now, this imagery here portrays the ritual washing of a Jew who is ceremonially unclean. Now, if you were a Jew and you were ceremonially unclean, you were forbidden from entering the temple where God would dwell until you had been ceremonially cleansed by a ritual washing. Until you had been made clean, you were forbidden from being in the presence of God. These exiles needed to be cleaned by God before they could enter into his promised land. But it just doesn't stop with a bath. Instead, God gives these people a new heart and a new spirit. Both the heart and the spirit are replaced and renewed. The heart that was stubborn, rebellious, and insensitive, that heart of stone, has been replaced with one that is soft, impressionable, and responsive, a heart of flesh. And their spirit of disobedience is replaced by the Spirit of God himself, who will move in the people to allow them to follow his decrees. You see, God is the only one who changes us. For remember back to when we did our Fundamentals of the Gospel series a couple of months ago. Remember what we learnt there. We learnt that everyone is fundamentally bad. There is no good or bad list. There's no list that God needs to check twice at Christmas time. Everybody is fundamentally bad. For Romans 3:23 is very clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us needs to be transformed, just like those Israelites did who were in exile. We too need to be transformed by God. We too need to be washed clean. We too need to have our hearts of stone replaced with hearts of flesh. And we also need to have our spirit of disobedience replaced by God's spirit. For listen again to Jesus' words from our New Testament reading that we had this morning. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, unless they are born of the Spirit. Folks, we need to be born again to see God's kingdom. We need to be born of God's Spirit to have eternal life. We need to trust in what Jesus has done for us, in dying the death that both you and I rightfully deserve to die. We need to activate our Jesus EPIR. The thing we can put our trust in, just like the Zaros family put their trust in their EPIRB out in the Simpson Desert, for without it, they had no chance of being rescued until they activated that. Well, we have the Jesus EPIRB. We just need to set it off. Now, it would be rather insane if the Zaros family did not use their EPIRB. If they just found themselves stuck out in the desert and go, oh, that's fine. We can get ourselves out of this. That's fine. We can just wait it out. We don't need this EPIRB. They were in a helpless situation, weren't they? They had no chance of rescuing themselves. They needed to activate that EPIRB. It was their lifeline. It was the thing which saved them. Well, folks, our EPIRB is Jesus. He is our lifeline. For as John 3:16 famously says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And here's the clincher. "That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is our EPIRB. He is the one we need to trust in to be saved. He is our rescue plan. So have you been born again? Have you set off your Jesus EPIRB? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Do you have the hope that you have been rescued by what Jesus has done for you? Not because of anything you've done by yourself, but 100% trusting in what Jesus has done for you. Because of Jesus' great name. Well, it is my prayer that you do have this hope and that you do trust in Jesus. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your words to us today. Lord, we give you great praise that we can be born again because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we want to thank you that you have rescued us from eternal separation from you, and you have brought us into life. And Lord, we pray that we would live lives transformed by you, and that we would bring honor to your name. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.